Hello, everyone. Let's get started. We are going to do Q&A today. So if you're brand new to No BS, I want to let you know that every Wednesday we have a Q&A call where I teach a little bit about something that we're studying for the month, because this month is all about the No BS weight loss course. We're all going through it again together. And then I answer questions. So it's real easy. No one can see or hear you, so you don't have to worry. This call is only Corinne. And then I'm going to bring on stage Coach Lisa. She will be inside the Q&A answering questions. So if you want to ask a question, you just need to put it inside the Q&A. If you want to chat with other No BS members, you just chat away inside the chat. And we also usually have a team member or coach over in the chat, just helping out just in case. They always talk in all caps. So we ain't mad at you. We ain't yelling at you. We are just trying to make sure that you know that the team is answering you. All right. So let me get up my notes and we will get going today. And I want to say this is a huge week. Let me just say a couple things. Number one, not too long ago, I was really working hard on where did I want to take No BS? Like, what is my long-term vision for weight loss, like in this industry? And I really want, like, I was actually writing about this morning. I want No BS to be the thing women think of when it comes to weight loss. And I want them to be excited about it. And I want them to think it's the only thing that works. And I want them to be championing it to their friends. And the best way to do that is to make sure you're getting success. Because if you're getting success, you will tell every woman that you know to try us out. I always think about like back in the old days when we were PNP, fit and fat, PNP tribe. And people were losing weight and stuff, but they didn't want to share us. And I know it's not because of we didn't get results. I think it's because we weren't teaching back then how to drop diet stigma, how to drop weight loss stigma, how to drop body image stigma. And we're doing so much of that good work now that I think it helps all of you feel more comfortable talking about our program, because it's like you're not just telling somebody, yeah, I'm a loser, losing weight, you should try my shakes. You're actually out there saying, my life's improving. Like, they're teaching me how to like stop my emotional eating. I'm living my life for the first time. My whole life is just not revolving around food anymore. I feel better. And I think that that's one of the things. And so with that, we had our biggest opening we've ever had inside of No BS. We had over, somewhere around 3,700 new members join. Now, I know that, you know, when I made the tough decision to like, we are going to take 289 away, for us as a company, that was a huge moment. I was deciding I am going for long-term success instead of short-term right here and now. I was willing to like say, my financials are not going to look real pretty for a while, but I know that this program should be in every woman's hands. I just know it. And I just want to tell all of you, especially the ones who are new, you have to believe right now. Even if you can't believe you'll lose all your weight, you've got to find a way to right now believe that it's possible you could lose your weight. If you can't believe it's possible you'll lose your weight, then I want you to at least believe that today I can try. I believe that today I can listen to a lesson, whatever that is. But, you know, I want y'all all to think about when I first started, I didn't believe I could lose all of my weight. But as the years have gone by where I was able to do it, I proved myself wrong. I proved myself wrong that I couldn't keep my weight off. I've just proven myself wrong so many times that now I am just willing to believe in things that I don't have one shred of evidence. And I don't even have the right to even believe it's possible, but I do it anyway. And that's one of the things that I hope that you find as you're starting No BS different than everywhere else. I just want all of you to lose your weight and feel good about it. I want you to enjoy the process. I want you to love being here. I want you to actually witness your life changing. I want you to actually like not just think I've got to wait until I lose all my weight before I feel better. I want you to feel better every day because we're teaching you how to be proud of how you're showing up. No more delaying happiness. No one's guaranteed tons of time on this earth. We have to stop delaying our happiness. There's no reason why any of you can't be proud today that you joined. You can't be proud. You can be proud that I don't give a fuck if you ate like a donkey butt the last 3 days since you joined. You can be proud that you're here listening to this. You can be proud that you're actually going to consider thinking about that next meal. You get to be proud at any moment you choose to be. And that is something we're going to teach you so much. And I'm going to say over and over and over again inside of No BS. Another thing that I'm really proud of this week, other than our record-setting enrollment, is this. We had the most amount of people hit the Queen's Club in 1 week. We had 33 people hit Queen's Club, which means 33 more people this week lost their first 25 pounds, and they joined our Queen's Club. If you want information about it, just go to the website. Underneath, if you look under the menu, you will find Queen's Club and you can read all about it. And we also had three women lose 100 pounds and join the Century Club this week. Regina Schumann, Ashley Campbell, and Maria Cole. And we had 12 more women reach their goal weight and hit the maintenance group this week. So for all of you, this shit happens every week. Why not you? Seriously. Why not it just be you? Call your shot now. I'm going to get to Queen's Club. I'm going to figure these things out. And I promise you, the one thing you can trust is we will show you every fucking step that possible for you. You just got to ask in Facebook. You just need to ask your questions in the Q&A. You just need to go to Ask Coaches. If you ask, we will answer. That is one of the things that's different about being here. You are not going to get a bot. You're going to get an actual Lisa answering your questions. You are going to get real people inside of No BS. And Coach Judith is over in the chat. So we got two of them. So Queen's Club, somebody asked, what's Queen's Club? This is where if you've lost 25 pounds, whether you did it with the podcast or since you joined, you can join a special little club where you get a special Facebook group. And the Queen's Club gets a special call each month with me where I coach them and they don't have to write in. All right. Let's go to what I want to teach. Well, let me go over this. So for everybody who is in No BS world right now, that's all of you, we are doing and focusing on the No BS weight loss program for the entire month of October. What I want to do is I want to go through all of the modules again, and I don't want no bullshit. I've done it before. Listen to it with where you're at now. Whatever mindset you have, maybe you're going into the holidays and you're nervous. Maybe you've been rocking and rolling in your weight loss and you're going to hear something different this go around. Maybe you've had a rough summer. Maybe you lost a parent. Maybe your kids went off to college and you're discombobulated. Listen to it again now with that version of your self's ears. So we are going to do it. And this week, the focus is all about module one. So if you're listening to this and you've listened to No BS before, we just updated module one and two like a week and a half ago. So if you haven't listened to them yet, you need to, because I deep dove into them and I included more stuff about past diet trauma, the phases of change. Why does this stuff take longer than I think it should? How do you deal with that perfectionism? How do you let all that stuff go? So it is the best of module one we've ever had of No BS. I know you're going to love it. So make sure you listen to it. And everybody that can hear the sound of my voice, I want you, when you listen to module one, anytime you learn something and you're like, holy shit, this was awesome. This is a game changer. This made sense, whatever it is. I want you to post it inside the Facebook group. I need some of you who like to post sharing your ahas, what you're learning and what you're going to do about it, so that more people be like, well, I'm just going to have to overcome bullshit. This looks too good to miss. I'm going to listen. Because no matter how much I tell y'all how great it is, somebody is sitting there with their Eeyore ass voice in their head going, like, I don't know. I don't know if it'll work for me. I've heard, I've listened to it in the podcast. All y'all got that voice just like I do. And it's a liar. And it ain't got nothing but a bunch of shit. Throw it. It's like, it's in your brain. Be like, hey, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to wallpaper your head with shit. We are not listening to that no more. So here's what I need. It ain't enough for Corinne to tell everybody how great it is. Other women inside this program need to see women talking about what's making sense, because we all get stuck in the habit of thinking, you know, I'm the only one that doesn't get it, or I'm the only one that needs that. And that is not true. It's not true at all. So when you are sharing your ahas, when you are leaving like notes and comments and things about, this is what I'm learning, this is what's making sense to me, this is what I'm willing to try. Somebody else sitting there whose inner voice isn't courageous just yet, starts seeing like, maybe it's my time too. So for all of you who are willing to post, I want you to bring your no BS sisters right along with you. All right. So one of the things that I recommend is that if you only have about an hour to spend on all of your no BS work this week, then I want you to only be doing the no BS weight loss course. Please do not listen to these calls. Please do not be surfing Facebook all day, every day. Don't be taking part in all the extras. Don't be going all the way through the website and looking at everything other than the no BS weight loss course. You got one fucking job, to listen to those videos. You will be done in less than an hour. And that gives you enough time to write the 24-hour plan every single day and assess it. That's all it will take to lose weight this week. I ain't asking you to kill yourself at the gym. I ain't asking you to somehow overhaul your entire pantry. I'm not asking you to like look at meal plans with recipes and grocery lists. I'm going to tell you what. Other day, I signed up for this course that's all about gentle nutrition. Because one of the things that I know is confusing to y'all is like good, better, best. I really want to learn how to keep explaining good, better, best in a way that where you understand that the best foods aren't better than the good foods. But here's like if you're ready to level up, here's how and why, so that you're not triggering restriction and stuff. So I get this program and I'm thinking, oh, I love like all the things this girl says. I get her program and I swear to God, the first thing I get is a meal plan with complicated grocery lists where it looks like I'm going to have to spend my day there. And she wanted me to do this elaborate food prep and stuff. And I was like, oh, this ain't fucking gentle nutrition. Now, I'm going to be grateful to learn some of her concepts and to be like, all right, how does this work with what I teach? But I'm like, we shouldn't have to do all that. Not to lose weight. Now, if you get off on meal plans and you want to create your own, I'd rather you learn how to create your own and learn how to make your own grocery list and stuff. But nobody should be made to do that in order to be able to eat. So one of the things that we're talking about in module one, if I had to boil module one down into one concept for you to just take and run with for the rest of your life, I'm going to tell you what it is. Here's Corinne's secret one. Don't fucking eat when you ain't hungry, period. If we all got better at not eating when we're not hungry, we would have no problems. Literally, I want you to think about it. If you are not hungry, you don't eat because your body is saying, I don't need anything. It like if you don't eat when you're not hungry, it allows you to sit there and think about, well, why did I want to eat in the first place? If I'm not physically hungry, what's going on? What do I actually need? Like, it is the trigger for all of it. If you're in the middle of eating, seriously, I want y'all to think about this, because this is what's important about module one. Y'all, perfectionists, lean in. Here's your moment. Get your pen and your paper. If you catch yourself in the middle of eating and you ask, was I hungry? And the answer is no, gently put the fork down, wrap up whatever you were eating. Tell yourself, it's all right. I'm glad I asked the question. I can stop eating now. Here's the bullshit of which y'all do. You're sitting there. Oh no, I wasn't hungry. I'm never going to fucking get this. I've already blown it. I've only been a member for 4 days. Or I'm never going to get it. I'm an elder. I've been here like a year and a half. Woe is me. Clutch my pearls and pass out on my couch that I ate before I was hungry. Those shenanigans do nothing for you. They do not help you. You ain't going to lose weight beating yourself up. And it's not needed. What's better? I catch myself eating when I'm not hungry. And I tell myself, oh, I was actually just tired. I think I'll stop. Or, oh no, I caught myself eating. I'm a fucking shit show. I might as well finish my donuts. Do you see how that works? When you beat yourself up, you're not giving yourself a reason to stop. When you don't beat yourself up and you're proud that you're starting to notice things, you have a reason to stop. You're not jacking your anxiety up. You're not jacking your cortisol and stuff up from the beat down. So then you don't have to feed that feeling. Here's another one. If you finish a sleeve of Oreos and you're like, was I hungry when I ate these? No, I wasn't. I would much rather you say like, good to know. What did I really need? Because most of you, when you're doing that shit, what you really need is a break, or you really need compassion, or you really need some rest, or you really need to work through a worry. And when you beat yourself up and be like, oh no, I did it again. I'm never going to get this. Whatever your sad ass story is that you love to recount. What happens in that moment is you have no compassion for yourself. You're not giving yourself a break. You're making yourself work harder. You're raising your guilt. Now you got to worry if the scale's going to be up. You're actually compounding what it is you ate over to begin with. And a lot of us do this as a distraction. It's like, well, you know, I don't want to have to untangle my worries. I don't want to have to actually go talk to, like, some of y'all are eating around work. Some of y'all actually need to have a conversation with your boss about your workload. But every day you're eating Oreos and taking it up the ass instead of going and having a tough conversation. You'd rather be hard on yourself about overeating than to actually go and have a conversation with your boss about what your true needs are. So don't sit there and let your overeating shit be a grand distraction from facing the things in life that once you face them, your life gets a little better, gets a little easier. If nothing else, it gets a little more honest. So let's talk about this week. We are going to be focused on module one. So everybody needs to listen to that content. It's great content. They'd be done in less than an hour. And then I also want to give a special shout out to, so last month, this month is all about No BS. Last month, we wrapped up Urges 2.0. So as of before you joined, if you're brand new, our members all went through a self-study course called Urges 2.0. Just like next month, everybody will be going through our self-study course, Handling the Holidays. The way we like to do things is every week, every month, we put a focus on something. So we either do a course together where all the calls are built around those. So if we do worksheet calls, they're the worksheets from that course. It's to help you be able to go through any of the courses as a group if you would like. So next month, or this month is our, last month was Urges 2.0. And we want to know what you learned in Facebook, but we had a grand prize winner. We had a prize for anyone who did a daily assessment every day and did the successful urge worksheets and such. It is Cindy Davis Connolly. She has won a deep dive coaching session with Kathy, and she did her daily assessment every day. She did 30 different discovery worksheets. She did 13 successful worksheets or successful urge worksheets. And she said she had lots to learn and she found out a lot about herself last month. So congratulations to Cindy. All right. Let me break down the four basics and then I'm going to take all the questions. So go ahead and start putting questions in there. And Lisa, if there's any questions about module one that you think would be great for me to answer or for newbies, keep them in the Q&A and I'll get them. The first thing about the basics is this: they are easier when you stop hard talking to yourself. So if the four basics are feeling hard, I don't want you to assume it's because the basics are hard. I want you to listen for your thinking first. Most of the time when something feels hard, it's because we're talking about it in a hard way. What does that mean? So if you're sitting around thinking, I haven't listened to my hungers for years, Corinne, this just feels impossible. Well, first of all, welcome to the club. Most of us stop listening to our hunger at the age of about three. A lot of you grew up being told to clean your plate. I used to do this to Logan all the time, and I actually heard this on a podcast, and I immediately stopped doing it because it was so subtle, and I didn't realize how it disconnects our children to their body. He would be eating, and as usual, Logan would lose interest. He was ready to go play. He was ready to go do something. He was ready to do anything other than eat. He had ate just enough. He was ready to get on with life. But here's me. Are you sure you're done? Are you sure you don't want a few more bites? Maybe just eat a little bit more. You know we're not going to eat for a little while. That language, most of us heard all of our life. And most of us do the same thing to everybody around us. And what we don't realize is it's a subtle way of telling someone, you should be afraid that you're going to get hungry. Or, hey, you probably don't know how to listen to your body. I know better. Something outside of you has more wisdom than you. So then we go through life, and guess what we're doing? We are going to restaurants and just eating everything that's served to us because something outside of us knows better as to how much food we should eat. Or take a few more bites. Why do you think so many of us will sit there and be like, well, I don't know. I think I'm at enough. I better just eat a few more bites just in case. All of that's just learned behavior. Now, the reason why it'll feel hard to stop it isn't because it's actually hard to do. Setting your fork down and not eating anymore is not a complicated process. The reason why it will be hard is because you're not used to it. You're used to doing what you've always done. And so stopping it will feel hard in the beginning simply because you're not used to stopping. And then there might be hard language that gets layered on top of it, like you might get hungry later. What if you're so hungry later you overeat? That's the part that's actually hard. So we want to listen to our thinking. So rather than saying, I haven't listened to my hunger for years and this feels impossible, let's remind ourselves in that moment when that thought comes up, here's how I actually want to think about this. I'm curious about my hunger signals. I'm going to be open to whatever happens. I bet I can learn from this. It's just new to me. The next thing that a lot of people think is, I can't believe I only drink 16 ounces of water a day. Like when you are getting down on yourself about like how much you sleep or how much water you drink and stuff, that makes drinking water hard when you're down on yourself. When you tell yourself, I don't like it. Okay, you don't like it. You don't have to tell yourself that 3,000 times a day. I also hate blowing out my Vegas hair. I put my extensions back in because I'm taking my niece for her 21st birthday. And I'm like, I'm going to put in my party hair. Well, guess what? This morning when it was time to blow it out, I didn't sit there and tell myself 1,000 times how much I hated it. I just went with, we're blowing our hair dry. It'll be over with before we know it. Just like if you're drinking water, just tell yourself, I'm willing to drink a glass of water before each meal. That's a lot better than sitting there talking about how much you hate it. Another one, I haven't gotten enough sleep since I had kids. And trust me, I get this. My son did not even sleep through the night until he was 8 years old. That first year, he never slept through the night. When he got to where he'd only wake up like 3 and 4 times a night, I thought, hallelujah, I could at least get some cat naps. I spent the majority of Logan's first 8 years of his life either sleeping on a floor with my hand up in his bed like this, because that was the only way he'd sleep, is if I'd hold his hand. I can't tell you how, like, about 2 years of my life, I had figured out how to rest my, like, I shoved his mattress up against the wall so that I have a shelf so I could go to sleep like this. And I slept on the floor just so I could get my sleep. So I get it when we're tired. But you know those years, what I didn't do? I didn't bitch and moan about it all the time. I didn't tell everybody that would listen about it because it made me feel gross. Now, I didn't sit there and think about how I hope this never ends. This is the most amazing thing ever. I didn't do all that. I just told myself, I'm willing to do what it takes. Period. So I always tried to get sleep when I could. Period. So a lot of it is like, let's make sure that we are thinking through things. Like, listen to how you're talking. Listen to what's going on in your head. And ask yourself, can I like say this to myself to where it feels a little bit better? If I wanted to make this easier, what would I be thinking and doing? This is how you start the early work of challenging your thinking. All right. The next thing you need to remember when it comes to the four basics this week is creating new habits work best when you make them really small and then you attach them to things you already do. So this is a concept called habit stacking that we all learned from James Clear. A long time ago, we did a book study on it. It's called Atomic Habits. And one of the things is like, for those of you who are just like, have a hard time with your water and stuff, one of the things that many members do is that every time they listen to me do, like they're listening to this Q&A live, or maybe they come to a coaching call or they're listening to the replays. If I cuss, they drink water. They make it into a game. So it's like, I'm already listening to the content. I might as well be fucking drinking some water while I'm doing it. So you want to make sure that you stack things with things you already do. So a few examples. A lot of people will drink 8 ounces of water before they eat the first bite of their food. Like, if you don't like water naturally and you're just like, I am team get it done instead of team whine about it, then you get you a glass of water and you just shotgun it before you allow yourself to eat. And then if you do that, you're at least getting, if you're eating 3 times a day, 24 ounces in right there. So it just kind of helps you with, like, if you can just sip through the rest of the day, or maybe like with me, I always drink water first thing in the morning. So I will drink 16 ounces before I drink my coffee. So while my coffee's making, I jam 16 down just to rehydrate my body and turn my brain on before I put coffee in it. So you stack it with something you're already doing and something you already like doing, or that's already so habitual. Then you can like decide to get in bed right before your favorite shows end. So instead of like Chris and I, every night we watch like Netflix. We're in the middle of watching Chicago PD right now. We watch so many. We watch a lot. We love like crime shows and things like that. So we're on Chicago PD. And at night, we have a certain time where we stop watching TV and we turn it to something that we're not interested in. So by like, and ours is 8 o'clock because we go to bed pretty early. I'm usually asleep by 8:15. At 8 o'clock, we kill whatever binge watching we're doing, and we put it on something boring, and we both just roll over and we set the sleep timer. This has worked for us in terms of like making sure that we're not staying up too late, but we still get to watch shows that we enjoy. I'm gonna promise all of you, when it hits 5 o'clock, from 5 to 8, me and Mr. Crabtree are binge watching TV for about 3 hours a day. People make fun of me all the time. I'm like, I don't apologize for shit. My ass wakes up at about 4:30 every day and gets to work. I'm like, I'm good with my 3 hours. That's how I want to spend my downtime. And so you just want to like bank things with things that you do. You can use your phone to set a reminder to ask if you're hungry and stop it enough. In the very beginning, it can be hard to like remember to do that. So if you set an alarm on your phone, like think about like the windows of time you typically eat. Like when do you normally have meals and stuff? You can just set an alarm that goes off right before those to ask, am I hungry? Am I hungry? You can keep sticky notes like on the refrigerator. A lot of people have sticky notes on the refrigerator that just says like, eat when you're hungry. So those are little things that you can do that can habit stack. And then the last thing to make module one easier is remembering that the basics are designed to meet you where you're at in weight loss right now, not where you think you should be. And this is something I think that's really important. So everyone needs to make sure that you listen to the phases of change module inside of module one. There is a whole lesson on the phases of change. I don't think y'all can hear it enough. When you listen to the phases of change, I just want you to remember that we are talking about, you do not need to be perfect to get your goals. It is such a lie. Now, you'll say like, but I always beat myself up, but I am a perfectionist. Stop saying I am a perfectionist. It does not help you. If you are saying I am a perfectionist and it helps you, go for it. But most of you declare it as if it's just the truth. It's not the truth. You've learned to be a perfectionist and you can unlearn that nasty habit too. That's also true. But the more you dig your heels in and keep self-describing, I am a perfectionist, the harder it's going to be for you to cut yourself some slack. So you might want to start thinking things like, I'm unlearning perfectionistic behaviors instead of I am a perfectionist. It's hard for me because I'm a perfectionist, instead of it'll be easier when I unlearn my perfectionistic habits. So always know this for all of you. Whatever it is that you do right now, whatever thinking habits, beliefs, and stuff that you have, at some point you learned all of them, which means your brain can unlearn them. Because if you can learn one, you can unlearn one too. Just like all of us came out of the womb eating only when we were hungry and stopping when we had enough. And at some point, the world taught us not to do that anymore. All right, let's get to some questions. LM says, I notice, especially at work, that when I get stressed out, my job can be very stressful because of the people, some of them. Okay, so one of the things you'll learn in module two is that the job and the people are not what's making you stressed. It's going to be the thoughts you have about the job and the people. So for example, you might think this job asks too much of me, or my boss will get mad if I don't do it exactly right. Or maybe everybody else is not pulling their weight like I am. Those are thoughts that when you think them could be stressing you out. And we'll learn how to unwind all of that in module two. Just for now, so let me just finish reading your thing and then we'll get into it. I see myself eating out of stress and sometimes bored on my job. So it's so funny. It's like my job can be stressful and my job can be boring, and both times I eat. It's like, you know, I don't want to be stressed. It's like, so you have to ask yourself, what do I want to be at work? And what's in my control? How am I not creating that? Because it's like, there are times when it's like your job is saying like, hey, all right, no more stress for you. And now you're like, yeah, but that's not good enough. Now I'm bored. Fuck. Let's go eat. It's like, we kind of have to see these things at sometimes. So I'm realizing I'm eating my emotions away, that's why I'm eating. So you're not eating your emotions away. You are eating because you haven't identified the thoughts that are causing you to have the emotions to begin with. And then when we work on those, then you can decide, do you like your story that you have around the office? Do you like what you tell yourself that causes you to be bored? Like a lot of times it's like, let's say it's the boredom thing. Rather than being grateful that you ain't like, looks like we got a lull. I've been so busy lately and so stressed. This is amazing. I can just sit here and think about my future. I can just sit here and do whatever I want, I guess. The problem a lot of times when it comes to like when we're stressed out is we think that our stress is caused by other people and situations. And when you learn that it's our thinking that creates it, you take back control. You have ways to cope with your stress, a way to bring your anxiety down. Boredom is one of those things that most people don't like doing because when they're bored, they can hear what they normally think about. Like, here I am in my my dead end job. Or you sit around and be like, I just hate this place. Or like, I could never go get another job. I didn't go to college. Most of the time when we're at work and we're bored and we want to eat, it's because we're sitting there with our own thinking and it's kind of ratchet and we're not working on our thinking. And so we think we're bored and we go eat to get away from ourselves. So, but most of this stuff is that you will learn all of that in module two, what to do with it. I find it hard to lose weight since I'm older, short, and only have 25 pounds of truth. Is there truth to this for me? No. If you are in the chat and you are 65 and older, will you please comment if you've lost weight? And I don't know who all's here. So I just picked a random amount and a random age. So if you've lost weight and I want like 65 and older, let us know. Cause I'm going to tell you, last week there was somebody in our group who's 78 and she's lost like 28 pounds. Here we go. Here's my ladies. It's not true. It doesn't even matter if you're short. What matters, like even if you're short, for all of you have this story about being short. When you're short, the reason why you feel like it's so unfair that you don't get to eat as much as everybody else, it's not because you're short. It's because you're used to seeing portions that are too big for your body, but your body is not asking for all of that food. No matter what your height or weight is, your body is going to ask physically for the food it needs to survive. After that, you're emotional about it. It's like, it's unfair. I'm so short. I don't get to eat like everybody else. Yeah, that feels like ass. When you tell that sad ass story, sure, that's going to be hard. So what you could be telling yourself is, at my size, at my height, at my age, my body knows exactly what to do. I just got to get mentally on board with what my body wants and stop trying to act like it's a curse or wrong, because that's emotional eating. Okay. I think you've gotten plenty of people over here. Like, y'all, I am so proud of all of you. Like, ageism is a thing. And that's another thing we're going to be working on in 2023 is a lot about the isms. Like so many women, man, it's like ageism. Like they act like we're wilted flowers and we might as well just be 6 foot under once we cross the age of 50 or something. I'm like, I'm fucking ready to go. And I'm going to be like, I want to be like my grandmother, my granny, not the one that's living right now. This is my grandmother that's deceased. You can ask my mother about this. She was a pistol and she could have whooped somebody's ass in hospice. I mean, she took no shit off anybody. I want to go out like my grandmother. My grandmother lived a full life as long as she physically could. And I want to be like that. And I want to take care of myself in such a way that, like, if I want to be twerking at 85, I'm twerking at 85. If I want extensions at 85, I will have it. We're going to have to, like, as No BS women, we're going to reset what people think about us in the world. I've been putting sweets on my plan because I have been eating them anyway, every day. Good. I put 3 on my plan yesterday with the thought that I would practice sitting through an urge if I wanted more. However, I ended up binging 8 in total. What is a good way for me to include these on my plan while also learning to tell myself no? At first, you may not be you may not tell yourself no, Molly. That's fine. What you need to do is ask yourself, all right, so I put 3 on my plan. when I wanted to eat more than what was on my plan, what did I tell myself? Probably what's happening is it's triggering your old past diet thoughts. So this is very common, and I'm really glad you brought it up. When you have past diet trauma, where in the past you were like, oh my God, I binge sweets, so I can never eat sweets again. So you do like very highly restrictive diets that have a lot of restriction and cutting out things and doing all that stuff. When you start this program, even though we're not doing that, even though we're giving ourselves permission to eat, that doesn't mean that our thoughts aren't going to catch up. Like, they're not going to catch up immediately. So it's like, I'm doing this brand new thing. Intellectually, I know I'm supposed to plan it. I put the three sweets on there. Like, everything in me says like, okay, this is loving. This is a, you know, this is a I'm going to lose weight being able to do this. But in the moment you're eating, your brain is used to a certain collection of thoughts around eating sweets. So it's just throwing up what it always thinks like, oh God, here you go. That's the bad foods. You better eat them all. You know, you probably can't eat these at all. You know, you don't have no control over this stuff. Your brain is going to want to give you its old thinking. So in the very beginning, what you want to do is like, you want to keep planning like you're planning. And you want to listen for the old thinking. So write all that down. Like if you can like just go back to yesterday and you can be like, what's my brain saying when I was overeating? Like, what were the thoughts that were coming up? And trust me, they're going to feel true. That's fine. Because they only feel true because it's the only option you've ever given yourself to think around those foods. Now what we want to do is like when those thoughts come up, it's like, I was prepared for you. This time it's different. I don't need to eat all of these because until I get really comfortable eating sweets and have the ability to really enjoy them and not overeat them, I'm going to keep planning them. Sometimes we have to like heal the relationship with our own body. We have to say things like, I know in the past, I have done this so much. I know in the past, I've not treated you well. I've punished you by taking away your favorite foods. And I'm not doing that anymore. That's not going to happen. And so it's like we have to rebuild the trust and connection with our body so that it can let its guard down. So it can say like, okay, maybe I can quit thinking that you can't control yourself. Maybe I can quit sending up the signal that we're getting ready to do something drastic. Because for a lot, especially for binge eaters, if you think about what happens to your body, you binge, and a lot of times binge eaters follow it up with a very restrictive pattern. They take away their favorite foods. They talk to themselves like an asshole. They make themselves do stuff, and your body gets hurt every time, and it gets scared every time. And it takes a while for it to trust you again. It's kind of like, I like to think of it like, this is kind of, I don't know if this is a great example, but it's the only example I can come up with. Have you ever seen a commercial or something where like a dog has been abused? And when a loving couple adopts a dog that's been abused, and let's say something drops in the house, or maybe they get too excited around the dog, they get really scared and they shake and they think they're in danger when they're not. Our bodies are like that dog that's not been treated well. It's been kicked around. It's been ignored or deprived of love. And sometimes for some of us, when we're losing weight and we do all this, that happens. And it's just your body trying to protect you. So for now, I want you to listen to what your conversations are. I want you to just remind yourself, this time is different. I know we've done all kinds of shit in the past, not doing that this time. And so you settle your nervous system. And even if you still eat, eventually you won't, because you'll rebuild the trust with your body. I feel like I'm waiting too long when I get hungry. By the time I actually eat, it's gone too far. I'm not overeating, but actually almost feel like I'm undereating, which triggers old diet thinking. Emma, the best way to just like, I would like one of the things I would do is take this to ask coaches, and we need to know why you feel like you're waiting too long. It's like, you might be thinking I've gone too far, but how do you know? Like, are you having physical symptoms? If you're having physical symptoms of like, you know, like I got a severe headache and I've got the shakes and stuff. Yeah, it's probably too long. But right now, it may just be you're not used to waiting for natural hunger. A lot of times, if we have spent a long time not allowing ourselves to get hungry, even natural hunger will be like, wow. So just like track your physical symptoms. And if you legit, like right now, it's like, I don't know. Like you would just need to get some more information about that. I would take that to ask coaches, like what all, how you know you're under eating, or, and then if you don't know, then track that this week. Like, what are the things that are happening? Why do I think I'm under eating? And take all of that to ask coaches and let them coach you. I don't understand the concept of asking myself if I'm hungry or had enough when I'm eating. I don't ever eat chips or chocolate because I'm hungry. That's the point of junk food. That's not the point of junk food. That's the thought error. Why not just eat chips and chocolate only when you're hungry? I don't call them junk food. Like, your body doesn't have a special provision for junk food. It's like, just have it. Like, you want chips for dinner, have chips for dinner. Sometimes I plan ice cream for dinner. I'm planning on having it. We're going to Vegas this weekend. One night I'm just planning on having dessert. I was like, there's this one place that has desserts I actually like. It's rare that I ever can find a place that has desserts. And I'm like, we eat dessert that night. I'm gonna eat when I'm hungry. So like chips and candy and stuff, the point of them is not to junk up your body, which is kind of what you're thinking is. The point of those things is foods that taste really good that you enjoy. So just eat them when you're hungry. Make a plan. Somebody is, I think that's Jean, shops a lot. I think it's Jean. I plan popcorn for dinner sometimes. There you go. What are examples of the signals that I am hungry and that I've had enough? If you will go to No BS, we actually have in module one, there's a download cheat sheet for you where we give you tons of signals for hunger and enough, all on a piece of paper for you. So if you don't want to print it, you can just pull it up and look at it. And there are signs there. One of the other things you can do is go to the Facebook group and ask what other people's signs and signals are. There are tons, and they're unique, just like all of you are unique. I have a history of disordered eating and spent years restricting and overexercising. Today, I have over 80 pounds I would like to lose and to do it in a way that don't have to restrict or overexercise. Well, you're in the right place because I don't even have you exercise inside of No BS. The only time we exercise in No BS is when we fucking want to and if we actually like it. Otherwise, we don't do it. I think exercise is good for us, but it has nothing to do with your weight loss. Not a damn thing. I'm having a hard time believing that this will work for me. Well, good. You know that you're having a hard time believing it. Does it matter? Like, I want you to just ask yourself, when you're sitting there spinning on energy around like, does it matter if I believe? Can I just try it out anyway? No one on day one of trying to lose weight ever really feels like something's going to work. There's always disbelief in there. It's not important, is what I'm saying. It's like, can you believe that today you can try the things that I'm saying? That's really where your belief needs to get to. I'm a big believer in we prove ourselves wrong instead of I need to know it's right before I start, or I need to know it's going to work before I do anything. We wouldn't have electricity if that was the thing. We wouldn't have clean water if that was a thing. We wouldn't have anything. The United States would not be what it is if that was a thing. You know what everything is? Am I willing to try and see if I can prove my doubts and fears wrong? That's what I want you to be asking yourself. Let's see. So my brain keeps trying to tell me that planning and assessing and drinking my water and stuff this month won't matter. Well, give it 30 days and let's just see. Most of y'all, your brain is wrong about all of it. You are so... like conditioned by the diet industry to believe certain things. What is so hilarious is y'all want to believe all that old stuff that you've been taught, and you're here because none of it worked. And you're like, but my past, but all these things I've been taught. And I'm like, but your ass is here. And you're not here because you're like, I just wanted to join so I could let everybody know how great all that stuff was. It really worked for me. None of it worked, or you wouldn't be here. So stop telling yourself the big lie. The big lie is that that stuff worked. It didn't. And you're here now because what you want to do is you want to figure out, like, what goes on in my head? Here's one of the things that's going on in your head. Like, I need to be confident before I do something. No, you don't. You need to be willing. You need to be willing to be wrong about everything you've learned in the past. You need to be willing to try things for 30 days with no guarantees of it working. Seriously. You need to be willing to try things with no guarantee that it will work. Because for most of you, waiting around for assurances and guarantees is what's screwing you over. This is why it's taking you so long to get started most of the time. So I don't want you waiting around for the promise of something working. I want you to get busy on proving yourself wrong. And that's the two options you have. I don't have any cheerleaders for me. Yeah, you do. You got, like, we got 15,000 members. How many more you need? You got me. You got a whole community around you. And you're like, and I've never cheerleaded myself. Well, it's a good fucking thing you're here, because this is what we live and breathe. We're going to teach you. All of you. It's great if your personal life, you have people cheering you on. But what's better is coming into No BS and being surrounded by people that you ain't even got to work for it. We just love you because you're here. We're just excited because you're here. We don't need you showing up perfectly. We like you because you're here as you are. And we're willing to help you every day as you are. And we want to teach you how to do the same for you, so that you never look around you ever again and say, I don't have anyone. I want every woman to never say that. I want you to look around and say, as long as I got me, I don't need anyone. Everybody else, you're just extra, because I got me. And that's what we're going to learn here. So I don't want you worried that you don't have cheerleaders. I want you to get immersed in us. We will help you. So for the rest of you, if you will take your questions and take them to Ask Coaches and post them there. So if you go to the website, there is a menu. And if you're on your phone, it looks like three little lines. They call it the hamburger in the internet's world. But if you'll pop the hamburger or the three lines that are stacked, you will find Ask Coaches on the menu. I want you to take these questions and I want you to ask them there. It's anonymous. Our coaches are answering all the time. So every day we try to clean it out. Give us up to 48 hours, but almost always we are a 24-hour turnaround. And get coached. This is why you're here. You're here so that your questions can get answered. Your obstacles can get removed. The things that are holding you back, we can help you overcome them. All right, everybody. I will not be here this Sunday for coaching. You had me for one full workshop, and you had me for two sessions last Sunday. Y'all got some special treats this weekend. Let me look and see what's coming up this week. I can't remember what all is going on. We scheduled the heavy hitters. Coach MJ, head coach MJ, who is in charge of our customer experience service, where she leads the community plus all the coaches. She's doing coaching on at 11 a.m. Central Time on Sunday. So if you like me, you'll like her. She got a mouth from the South like I do. And then at 1 o'clock, we have a special call. We have a special call called Handling Hormonal Changes Like a No BS Woman. One of our coaches is coming to coach and teach on hormonal changes that kind of specializes in that. So we are putting that out there for you on Sunday too. And that will be at 1 o'clock Central Time. All right. Y'all have a good one, and I will see you next week. Bye, y'all.